Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for the local take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, I'm happy to say that we are joined in the studio by Maria Saporta of the Saporta Report. And for those who you do not know, Maria Saporta is one of the true journalists, I feel, in our city. So, Maria, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Kiplin.
And I say that because the things that you find in the Saporta Report sometimes never bubble up to our mainstream media, but occasionally I think the Saporta Report leads the charge. You kind of uncover things, and then our mainstream media kind of gets on board.
There's lots of credit to go everywhere around.
Well, the main reason I wanted you to come in today was to talk about the West Side. And I know recently the Saporta Report, or a couple of months ago, you all talked about the action plan coming out of the West Side Future Fund, which was led by an urban planner, Nuri Tadani.
Yeah, Dayru Tadani. And he, very well respected. And he really went and looked at each of the communities and how you could plan for the whole West Side District. So it did include just us neighborhood, include Vine City, English Avenue, the AU Center, Ashview Heights. I'm not sure if it went all the way to Washington Park, but it was looking to see, one, what are the connections between the neighborhoods to try and make it work better? What kind of new development should come that would complement the existing development that's there?
And I know everyone on the West Side sees the changes that are going on, from homes being bought and renovated to the new Georgia Dome. And there are
the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
The Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Georgia Dome coming down.
Right.
So as we see all of this change coming, some people are not feeling quite so good. They're anticipating that they will be moved out. What is really going on? From that action plan to some of the other things that are going on the West Side, are the people in the community going to be able to have a voice about where they live?
Well, let me just start out and say that there is so much focus and attention right now on the West Side that this is the opportunity that everybody's been waiting for. But for the local community, for the local neighborhoods to have that voice, they need to demand it. No one's going to come and just say, you know, hey, what do you want to see here? And I think it's going to be really important for the neighborhoods and the leaders in the neighborhoods and the people who don't want to see change, kind of bulldoze them over, to be vocal and to be active and to be engaged, because change is coming, and if you want to be sure that it's the kind of change you want, you're going to have to play a role. So I would challenge the community to not just sit back and see things happening to them, but to really be very aggressive, because right now it's a very, very critical time in terms of the future of the West Side. I do think some very healthy things, like the Transform West Side Summit, which is on the first and the third Friday mornings. It's over at North Yards, the gathering spot, and it's free, and Chick-fil-A provides sandwiches in the morning. Wonderful spot to be involved and to hear what's going on and to be engaged. But it doesn't stop there. My biggest fear for the West Side is that you're going to have a lot of, and I would say even well-meaning developer types, coming in and putting their vision down rather than preserving the treasures that are here. And everyone has a stake in this, from the universities to our nonprofits, to the business community, to the developers, and especially the community residents.
Maria, I think the saddest thing to happen is if 10 years from now, the West Side looks like the East Side, or it's just a duplication of an Atlantic Station or the East Side Beltline. I think that would be...
It'd be tragic. I mean, what you have on the West Side, I mean, the legacy of the civil rights movement and the history of the AU institutions and, you know, from Benjamin Mays to all the great, you know, civil rights leaders. You can go down Sunset Avenue and see where Maynard Jackson lived and where Julian Bond lived and obviously where Martin Luther King Jr. lived. You can go on, I guess it was called Diamond Hill, and, you know, see the Herndon home. But across the street, see it breaks my heart, Grace Hamilton's Modern House, which was very...
It was featured in Ebony magazine. I remember that home because it was...
was modern, and it was different, and it was, you know, and my father was an architect and of the modern era, and to see it just in almost in shambles, and people are going to want to say, oh, well, you can't save that, and Gaines Hall, burn out Gaines Hall, people are going to have to fight to preserve the history that's here, and yet that is what will keep this area true to its soul.
Now, you mentioned some of those neighborhoods, and every neighborhood is unique and different because they're different families, different types of families. Are developers looking for a one, you know, one-stop shop that they can just put up whatever they want? Or are they going to take into consideration that Sunset has a lot of elderly people. Mm-hmm. Washington's Park still has a lot of families. Are they going to take those types of needs into consideration? As you've been reporting, what are you...
Right. Well, just as you can't lump all neighborhoods into one group, you can't lump all developers into one group. There will be some sensitive developers coming in, but you have to also be on the lookout for those who are not sensitive and who need to be given their sensitivity. One of the things that I think is very important is to preserve Jordan Hall. Jordan Hall, the YMCA has come in and they wanted to tear it all the way down and leave nothing there. Well, there's some great history. It was one of the first elementary school for African-American kids in Atlanta. And you want to... And that's right around the corner from the Herndon home. I mean, so a lot of people are saying, well, how that ends up being will be telling. Because it's in a key spot just two blocks away from the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium and can almost serve as a gateway of what should happen for the rest of the neighborhood. I really worry about Pascal's Motor Lodge. And, you know, that there is probably no place where history was made other than Gaines Hall and Fountain Hall, you know, but at least in the 1960s, than Pascal's. And to see it there not being nurtured and cared for and with a great vision, hopefully one that would play to its past. And I mean, there is not really a good hotel within the AU campus. There could really be the need to create, I think. I mean, I've always had a dream. I'm a frustrated developer. I would love to see it done as a hotel, bring back a Pascal's type restaurant there, label the booths, say this is their pictures of, you know, people sitting around the breakfast table and planning the movement. And you have some of those pictures everywhere. And in the suites, find out who slept where and create them in such a way. And I you need some modern amenities, so you could build in the back of it. And I mean, I just have all these ideas and have a conference center where they could serve the whole AU campus and become part of the, you know, the Black heritage tourism industry that Atlanta is crying for. And I mean, this is where history was made, is being made, should continue to be made. Let's honor the places where it was.
I could not agree with you more. The other thing that I wanted to talk with you about was the joint venture with the federal agencies on the flooding that takes place on the west side. And I was so amazed that this is one of the first joint ventures where every university on the AU Center, including ITC and Morris Brown, are included in this project with these federal agencies, and it actually involves the students engaging with the community. And so often in college towns, the colleges are fenced off, right, and the community never interacts.
And I will say that this is kind of a new attitude that I see coming out of the Atlanta University Center. They're realizing that change is happening, you know, at their doorsteps, and they can either be part of it or not. I think for a long time they were the ivory campuses, and they turned their back on the communities. And you know, I do feel that Mary Campbell and, you know, Ron Johnson and John Wilson and some of the other folks who have been here, Carlton Brown was one as well, that was trying to be sensitive to what was happening around them. Every institution has its own challenges that it's got to face and deal with. But I think Tulane University in New Orleans showed that after Hurricane Katrina, they became stronger when the community became stronger. And the community became stronger when the university became stronger. And so that's what you want to aim for here, where the community and the universities become one and really benefit each other. It makes so much sense. If you had professors living near, living in these communities, you don't want to displace the people who are here. But there is a lot of room and a lot of area where you can bring in new residences and new people and bring new life. I don't think anybody really wants it to remain as it is today. You want it to bring back I remember coming to this community, taking the bus, and when it was Hunter Street, and there was some kind of it was a political campaign or something, and it was at the West Hunter Baptist Church right there, and there was so much business and so much life, and it was vibrant, and that's what you want.
And we can get back to that.
You can get back to that. And you asked about the flooding. I mean, obviously there have been several things that have happened to the community that have helped in its downward cycle. I would say that one of the really good news that's happening is from the green standpoint. Park Pride did the Proctor North Avenue study, which kind of laid out a green infrastructure concept for the whole community. There's the new park that I think the latest name, the Rodney Cook Senior Park, that is going to have a major stormwater issue that should take care of the 100-year flood experiences that have really hurt here. And then there's what the universities are doing with, it's the community, and I can't remember the name of the professor right now who's leading it, but Bill Eisenhower's involved in it and working with the students to try and figure how do you reclaim stormwater and how do you have a much greener society. Then you have the Proctor Creek redevelopment. So there's a lot of attention to parks and green space, which was a great need for this community.
I think it's great. And you mentioned the water storage. When you think about the water wars that we are still ongoing, I mean, we've won this last round. The state of Georgia won the last round. But I think in your article, they were going to be able to collect hundreds of gallons of this runoff storm water that our community desperately can use.
Right, right. And it's all having to do with trying to live a greener way of life and be more
sustainable.
Yeah.
Now, Maria, we've talked about the West Side and we've talked about your reporting for the Supporter Report. For our listeners who are not familiar with the Supporter Report, and I think everyone who's listening should get familiar.
Please subscribe. It's free.
It's free, yeah. But it's also great information. Mm-hmm. How would our listeners engage with the Supporter Report?
Well, there are many ways. We purposefully don't charge for subscriptions because I want anyone to be able to read and access the Supporter Report. We have, you can subscribe and you get a weekly email. We are on Twitter and Facebook and all the great social media platforms. But we offer people an opportunity to comment. I really see us becoming a town square where you can have a lot of issues kind of discussed, at least brought attention to. I love it when a reader, and it happens all the time, where they read something that I have and then they link to something else that kind of builds upon the knowledge. And whether they agree with me or not, it's fine. We need to have a place for civil discourse, conversation, and to learn information. And you know, the real facts, not those alternative ones.
Well, and you let me write to that, the state of journalism. I know that you had a great following when you were at the Atlanta Journal as a columnist, and you also have a column in the Atlanta Business Chronicle. You know, you are a journalist. You are not a talking head or a pundit or a media personality, so to speak. But as we move into this kind of tricky world of journalism, as lay folks, as listeners, how do we continue to inform without this backlash of what's true and what's not true? And just yesterday, Sean Spicer, press secretary for the president, said everything he says is true unless he's joking.
He's been joking a lot.
Well, I cringe to think of how we got here, and then how do we get out of here?
Well, I also serve on the board of the Atlanta Press Club, and we have a campaign right now that is Journalism Matters. And I would really urge your listeners to be careful where the information's coming from. Some people just, swallow things when they see it. And you have to be skeptical, even when you read Supporter Report, even when you read the mainstream press, ask. It should not be a passive experience. And I think that you want to engage. And what I hope that Supporter Report does is provide people an opportunity of how they can be involved and what they can do and kind of know what's going on. And I use the word civic literacy. We want people to know what is happening in their community so that they can develop a vocabulary for it and they can become voices and contribute to the conversation.
I love that. Citizen literacy.
No, civic.
Civic literacy.
Civic literacy. And that's what I think with the sad state of journalism, what has been lost. And so you get into kind of the silo journal. People who, just go gravitate to folks.
What's going to agree with me.
Right.
And make me feel better because it's going to uplift all of the things that I already believe, but we cannot learn or grow in that kind of comfort area. You've got to go out and see what's really going on.
And be curious about what's happening and get involved in your neighborhood. Don't just take it like, oh, here they come again, and then, go back to doing whatever you do with your life. I really am a big believer in people getting involved in their community and saying, this is what we want, and stand up for it. Right now, you've got two billionaires, roaming the West Side. I know both of them, and I'm referring to, obviously, Arthur Blank and Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A. And they are both wonderful people. But they didn't grow up here. They are trying to be sensitive to what is happening here. But the only way that they're going to really be held accountable, and I say that in a most respectful way, is if the community says, hey, that's not what we were thinking about. I think the opportunity is greater than it's ever been. And I see things like Truly Living Well coming here, and Bill Bowling, who was involved in that, and Rashid, you know, that has been really heartwarming to see, and how they've been able to raise money for this vision here that is all the great things of having nutritious food, you know, close to the community, that, you know, to overcome some of the deficiencies that have been here. But it takes knowing what's happening next door.
Not only do you have to know, you've got to act.
Got to act.
So my mantra for 2017 is listen, learn, and act. And Maria, I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing all of this information with our listeners, because, as you said, this is will impact all of us. And the future is kind of right now.
Right. And it's happening quickly. And we've got a lot of things at stake. We've got city elections that are coming up this year. And these are people that will have a make decisions on where our city's going and where our neighborhoods are going. And I urge, again, people to at least know what the choices are. And, you know, it could be a really great thing that's going on. I have lived in Atlanta my whole life. And I often say I have a love-hate relationship with Atlanta. And it's because I've seen some great things, great missed opportunities. I'm hoping that this is not one of them.
I agree. And, you know, Atlanta is such a transient city. I remind people all the time, when I was growing up, they tried to tear down the Fox Theater. I mean, we have to hold on to those things that we hold near and dear, including the Hamilton Home, the Herndon Home, and Jordan Hall, and Gaines Hall.
Yeah.
And I hope this time that we do it right.
Well, I'll be there to report it one way or another.
Civic literacy from the Supporter Report. Maria Supporter, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been fun, Ripple.
Thanks for listening to The Local Take on WCLK this morning. Special thanks to our guests for taking their time to speak with us. You can find many of these interviews posted online for on-demand listening at WCLK.com. If you want to recommend a community leader or nonprofit organization you would like to see featured on The Local Take, you can leave a voicemail on the WCLK Community Engagement line at 404-880-6211, or you can email me at kiplinprimus@gmail.com. Good morning.